We're going to be in Daniel chapter 3. Most popular story preached, I think, in the Old Testament. Yeah. Which you're thinking, well, we just dismissed the kids, and that's what we preach to the kids, right? That's what we teach the three Hebrew children, right? We, if you've grown up in church, you've probably heard this story more times than any other story other than Jesus, of course, the gospel message. But the other day, I was reading in my daily Bible reading, and I got to Daniel chapter 3. And, you know, there's always a temptation whenever you get into something that is that familiar that you kind of skip over it. You know, you kind of, or gloss over it or read it quickly. But you've heard me for any amount of time, whenever you get to a familiar passage, you got to slow down. You realize that there is something, even in passages we teach to children, there's something for adults as well. And that's what I pray that happens here today. I pray that God would allow us to see something, not that there's anything new under the sun, but Lord, that it would give us something that would help us today. But if you don't know the story, I've said all that. If you don't know it, I'll give you a quick introduction. We're going to start in Daniel 3:14 in a minute. But leading up to that, these three young men, we call them three Hebrew children, they're young men, they were taken from their homes into captivity, taken to Babylon, and they were taught in the Chaldean language and all the sciences and all the different things that the Chaldeans knew at that time. So basically, the modern day equivalent is that you just pluck that young man, that young woman, and put them in a secular university, and that's the same thing. You know, they're away from home, they're away from parents. They make their own choices. They've got all this worldly wisdom. And the question is, what are they going to do? Well, aren't you glad in chapter 1 they take a stand? And Daniel's with them in that chapter, and he purposed in his heart, and they purposed together that they're not going to defile themselves when they're in Babylon. Amen. Isn't that a good thing? I'll tell you what, you can go to a secular college, and you can make it through on the other end, but you got a purpose in your heart. You're not going to defile yourself. So anyway, that's chapter 1. They make a stand. And then now in chapter 3, these three Hebrew boys, they get tested again. King Nebuchadnezzar, he builds this giant statue of gold. And then when the music plays, everyone is to fall down and worship it. And if you don't, you get thrown into the fiery furnace. So, like I said, it's probably a familiar story. But look, let's look at just a few verses starting in Daniel chapter 3, verse 14. Now, so basically they didn't bow when the music started, so the king is giving them a second chance to do it again. So here's Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all the kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?"
Yeah.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the sweet spirit we felt. Lord, it's been a good service already. And Lord, I pray that you would help me to preach. Lord, help us to listen. And Lord, that we could take this familiar story and glean something from it today and get something. Lord, I pray that there, if any lost that hear this, that Lord, that they would come to know you and that you would encourage us in whatever state we're in. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen.
Amen.
So I want to look very closely first at the king's question. Do you see that at the end of verse 15? He's giving them another chance. You know, you when it was the big crowd, you know, you the music played and you chose not to bow. Now they're in front of the king. The pressure's on now. He's given them another chance. You know, I'll let you do it. You know, you get another shot at this. The music's going to play. What are you going to do? But look at the end of verse 15. As he's giving them another chance, King Nebuchadnezzar says that. "Who is that God, big G, that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Do you see what he's saying? And see, at the end of the previous chapter, Daniel 2:47, remember, that's where Daniel interprets the dream that he was so tore up about. And as soon as he does it, King Nebuchadnezzar says this in 2:47, "Of a truth, it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing that thou couldest reveal the secret." So there for a little bit in chapter 2, King Nebuchadnezzar realized that the God of Israel was the God. He was above all the gods, but then it didn't take very long. The pride returned, and he's forgotten about Daniel's God and the God of Israel. And now he's questioning what he's trying to do. He's trying to break the resolve, isn't he? They decided they're going to take a stand, and now he's turning up the pressure, and he's saying, you know what? We'll see now whether you will bow or not. We'll see. I'm going to threaten again that fiery furnace and see if you change your mind. Right? That's what he's doing. You realize the devil does the exact same thing today, doesn't he? He does the same thing. He'll use threats. He'll use threats of persecution. He'll use all types of these things. And what he's trying to convince us, ultimately, the devil's trying to convince you that there is no escape from his hands. Right? He's trying to. That's the exact same thing the king said. Nobody is going to deliver you out of my hands. That's what he's telling him. And within that question. And you know, in those days, when a king would, the Babylonian Empire was huge. And as they would conquer cities and nations and territories, what would happen is they would take the gods of the place that they conquered and they would bring it back to where their god was. And they just start a big old collection of idols, right? You know, because if one god's good, surely, 30, 40, 50 of them's even better, right? So he's asking right here, he's thinking, you know what, I've got a whole big old collection of gods on my side and idols and everything else because we've conquered this big territory. And he's saying, I've got all these idols, but who's your God?
Yeah.
Who's your one God that's going to deliver you? That's what he's asking. Who can overpower me? And you realize something, the king, he lost the battle right here. You want to know why? Every time in the Old Testament I found where a man pits himself against the real God, or every time a false God gets pitted against the real God, God always steps in and he says, I'll show you who the real God is, right?
Yeah.
What happened at Elijah and Mount Carmel, right? They were, call on your gods and we'll see which one answers by fire. It was a setup, right? Our God's going to answer. And the same thing right here. He had made his mistake. God will always show himself true when he's called out like this. You know what the greatest show of victory was? The cross. Calvary, right? They're calling out and they're saying, if you're God, why don't you just get down from off there? Aren't you glad Jesus stayed on the tree? He died for our sins and he showed the power. When he died, he was buried. And that, I can't imagine that Saturday where there was, seemed like all hope was gone. But then on that Sunday morning, they rose early to go to the tomb to finish anointing him. And the stone was rolled away. The body wasn't there. Why? Because he's alive.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
So now we see the question to the king. Let's look at the answer in verses 16 and 17. Well, in verse 17. If it be so, our God, you see, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. So what they're saying is, king, you've threatened to throw us in that furnace. That's your threat that he made at the beginning. If we don't bow down and worship your idol, but God has the ability to deliver us. That's what they're saying. He's able to do that. Or you know what? He may allow us to be martyred.
Yeah.
Right? That's what they're saying.
Right.
He's able.
Yeah.
We don't know what God's going to pick. But he can deliver us.
Amen.
That's what they're saying. That's what they're telling him right here. Because he's asking, who is going to deliver you from my hand? Well, they're saying, well, our God, when you're saying, which God is it? He's the one that can deliver.
Yeah.
That's how they're answering right off the bat. He has the ability. What faith? What understanding? Isn't that amazing from these young men that are saying that, you know what? We don't know what's going to happen, but our God is able. And many Christians have given their life, right, over the years.
Right.
since the beginning, right? Abel gave his life.
Yeah.
All the way through, Stephen gave his life. All the disciples but John gave their lives. They were all martyrs. And then many throughout history, to get the Bible in different languages and to everything else, many have died. And it's something for us to remember. We may have to give our life as a martyr for the faith, for Jesus Christ. I don't know. But one thing I do know is he could deliver us from those situations, but he may or he may not.
That's right. Amen.
But look at the second half of the response. Right? They're saying he's able.
Come on.
But look at this at the very end of 17. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. Do you see that? First they said he's able to deliver us out of the fiery furnace. Now they're saying, King, what's he saying? He will deliver us. Well, now that seems strange, doesn't it? How could it be a possibility and now it's a certainty? We're not going to be in your hand anymore. He's delivering us out of your hand. And I thought that seemed strange. Because, you know, they were saying the fiery furnace, it may happen, it may not. We don't know. But now they're saying God will deliver them out of the king's hand. How could both of these things be true? Right? How could both statements be true? You know what they're saying? They're saying, if God delivers us out of that furnace, your power... He's delivering us from your power.
That's right.
But if God allows us to die in that furnace, he's delivering us out of your power.
Amen.
You see that?
Amen.
Either way, King, that's why I said earlier, he made the mistake, right? He pitted their gods versus the God of Israel. And now they're saying, listen, that statement, this thing that you're forcing us to do is going to cause you to lose power over us. That's what you're saying right there. He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. And you think about that.
Yeah.
If they would have went into the fire and God didn't deliver them and they burn up and they close their eyes in death and they breathe their last breath. And if we, you know, maybe if we have to do this as well or not, it doesn't matter. But I'll tell you what, if we had to go through this, or the martyrs that do, they close their eyes, the last breath goes out, and then they open their eyes, and then all of a sudden there they are. They were in persecution, they were in the hand of tormentors, they were in the executioner and everything else. Now they open their eyes in glory. They have no power over them anymore. That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
And guess what they get to see? The Savior that they refuse to renounce, right? The Savior that they refuse to give in to. That's how both of them could be true. He is able to deliver us from the furnace, but he will deliver us out of thine hand. And then verse 18, this is the power one.
Yeah.
But if not, if he doesn't deliver, be it known, unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They're saying, we will not bow, we're not going to serve your gods, we're not going to serve our God and your gods. That's compromise. We're not going to compromise for this, for us to save our lives. And we're not giving in to fear, because even if you take our life, your power over us is ended at that point. Guess what? King was mad. Right? He's full of fury. That's what it talks about now. You realize something? Nothing makes the devil more angry than when we refuse to give in to fear, when we refuse to give in to persecution, when we refuse to give in to compromise, and instead of all those things, we respond by faith. And the whole reason that I was talking about, it felt like people were stealing my notes this morning, is because if you haven't noticed it in these few verses, in the king's question, and then their response, we realize that they're saying, our God is a God that delivers. He is a deliverer. You questioned whether he could. He is a delivering God. Praise God for that. And then we see what's going on. But you know what? Let's flip to the New Testament. Paul, in his introduction to the church of Galatia, in the letter of Galatians, Paul in chapter 1, verse 4, he's talking about Jesus Christ. He says this, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Do you realize this world is evil today?
Yes.
It is. I'll give you three verses that talk about it. Jesus said this in John 3:19, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Does that sound familiar? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world," that's the devil, "hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And finally, Colossians 1:13 and 14, talking of Jesus, "who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of his sins." So those three verses make it pretty clear, and there's many more we could have looked at. Our world is filled with darkness, isn't it? It's filled with darkness. And the minds of the world, the people within this world, their minds, the Bible says, are blinded by the devil. And all they seek to do is evil deeds, all while rejecting the truth and the light of God's word. Does that sound like the world today?
Yes.
Isn't that what the Bible says? That's what it'll be like. That's what it's like, and that's what we see. But some of those people, does that sound like friends? Right? Minds blinded? Does it sound like family members doing a lot of evil deeds? Right? Led by evil, don't want to hear about the light, don't want to hear about God's word, sound like co-workers and friends and everyone else and students that are around us. It's because God said this is what it would be like. Well, how does the devil do it? How does he accomplish these things? You realize something? He puts evil leaders in place everywhere. He puts evil leaders in place in government. He puts them in the education area, right? He puts evil leaders in big businesses, in entertainment, in news. And so that way it is bombarding us from every side. We've got evil and evil thoughts and blinded minds all the way around us. And you realize that it would be impossible for us to correct it, because you could focus on one. Because I hear a lot of times, well, if we just go to the ballot box and if we just vote the right people in, then magically everything will change. Well, what about the schools? What about the entertainment? What about every big business and everything else? They're all led by evil men and evil women. They are. Whether you like it or not, it's the truth.
Amen.
God said in his word, this world would be evil, and it is. The only way to find deliverance from this blindness, the only way to see the light, is through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Right? That's it. But that's enough. Because he's the deliverer. Gospel of Jesus Christ shines light into the darkness. The Bible, you know what it does? It cuts right through the lies. It's a discerner, isn't it? It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It goes right through and it shows people the truth, and that there is a different life through Jesus. And this is the message we've got to take to this world. They don't want to hear it, but it's the only thing that'll save their soul from hell. I want you to imagine this. Imagine you've got somebody on death row. They've been convicted. They're guilty. Their crime is bad enough that they're going to be executed. They're just waiting for the day to come. All the appeals have run out. Everything, it's stood. They have no hope. But then one day the governor calls and says, "I'm granting you a pardon."
Yeah.
Right? No death penalty. No prison anymore. They're able to walk free and start over their life. But one thing you may not know about pardons is you have to accept a pardon. You can actually reject it, and many have. Even presidential pardons, they've rejected them over the years and said, "I don't want it." Now, can you imagine? Can you imagine that prisoner on death row awaiting their death sentence gets that pardon for them in their name, ready to go, and they say, "I don't want it," and ends up dying? You would say, how foolish is that, right? How ridiculous would that be? But then think about it. Our friends, our family members, our co-workers are headed. What are they? The wages of sin is death, right?
Yeah.
They're headed to hell. There's no hope except for the pardon of Jesus Christ. What has to happen? The free gift, right? He died on the cross. It's a free gift. Salvation is free. His grace is free. His blood, all these things. Yet, so many say, I don't want it. I'd rather die. It's so sad, isn't it?
Amen.
Who's going to deliver my lost friend? Who's going to deliver my lost coworker and family member and everyone else out of the hands of Satan? Who can do it? Aren't you glad that Jesus can do it? He's the one that delivered each one of us through the chains of sin, through the bondage of the devil. We served the devil and didn't even realize it. We listened to his lies and deception. But aren't you glad one day somebody told you the gospel? You heard about Jesus. The Holy Spirit touched your heart and you realize all of a sudden the curtains were rolled back and what was dark instantly became light. And if you were like me, you realized you were a sinner, you were lost, and you needed Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad he can deliver the lost today? Man, it looks so bad out here. The world is wicked. It looks like all hope is gone. But aren't you glad my Jesus is still handing out pardons? He's not dying again in our place. He died one time. He shed his blood one time. And he rose from the dead. And that's good enough forever. Praise God. Jesus can deliver today. Let us never forget that. But that's the lost. One more spot. 2 Timothy 4:18 is near the end. Listen to what Paul says. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And we're like, man, that's great, Paul. Man, look at that. He's saying, look at the faith. Look at what he's saying. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me into his heavenly kingdom. Man, what a great thing that Paul's writing. But don't you forget, he's sitting in a prison cell writing this.
That's right.
Right? He's in a Roman prison and he is about to be executed by the Roman Emperor Nero. It's coming soon. He doesn't know it, but it's coming soon. And he's writing, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. I think Paul knew he was going to die for his faith. But you know what? He didn't know when. Right? See, he'd been thrown in prison before many times. He had been threatened to be killed many times. There's many that wanted him dead. The whole time they wanted him dead. But he didn't know. Is this the time? Are they going to let me out one more time?
Yeah.
Are they going to arrest me one more time? Are they going to cut my head off like they did some of the other disciples? What are they going to do? I have no idea. What will happen? No clue. But you know what he's saying? And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me into his heavenly kingdom. I believe he is saying the exact same thing that the three Hebrew children said, right? He's saying the same thing. I don't know if Jesus is going to let me out of this Roman prison cell that I'm in. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to escape his Nero's hand this time and then be killed later. I have no idea what will happen, but I'll tell you what, the God that I serve will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. He's saying, listen, I'm here. I could be delivered from the hands of Rome. I don't know. Or they could take my life. But either way, Jesus Christ will deliver me. He will keep me from this evil world. And he says, I don't know. For his fiery furnace, he says, I don't know. God's able. And this was the time he didn't get delivered. He didn't get delivered from his fiery furnace. He died. And you're sitting there thinking, my goodness. But guess what? As soon as they took his life, Nero had no power over Paul anymore. Right. This wicked world had no power over him once he was dead. And let me tell you something. So we see the three Hebrew children. Remember, they say God's able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. And you say, Paul, he's saying, look, he will deliver me from every evil work. I'm going to get delivered. I believe you have the same thing, but two different outcomes. You know what that tells me? I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what trial you're going through. I don't know what things are going on in your mind, whether it's depression or anything else. I don't know what's going on. These things we go through. I don't know if that trial, I don't know if that persecution, I don't know if that thing that you're going through now or about to go through, I don't know if you're getting delivered like the three Hebrew children from it. I can't tell. I can tell you God's able.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I can tell you, even if not, right? Isn't that what we were singing today? Even if he doesn't, he will deliver us from this evil world. He will. He'll deliver you out of the hand of the enemy, one way or the other. But you know what? We've got to stop giving the devil more power than he has. King Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to be afraid. Yep. Right? Because you're thinking, well, they took a stand. And I'm telling you what, they took a stand when many other Jewish young men and young women that were in captivity with them did not. Right? Many bowed. Many bowed and said, well, you can just think what's in their mind. You know what? God's not going to care. We'll just bow once. Surely God doesn't want us to die. You know, we'll just do this one time. We'll just compromise. The king's angry. It's just a statue. Who cares? Right? They're trying to say in their mind what would make it okay. It wasn't okay with God. He wanted them to stand. Why? Because if the three would have bowed, King would have never seen the fourth man in the fire. He would have never seen the question answered.
Yeah.
Who is that God that's able you to deliver you that's from my hands? He saw the God. And he watched him deliver them. And it changed his mind. Now he's stubborn. Nebuchadnezzar's stubborn. He's going to end up eating grass like an ox later on in his stubbornness. But that's all right. God said, I'll show you who can deliver. But we can't give the devil power. We can't give Nebuchadnezzar any more power. We have to realize no matter what we're going through, whether it's temporary or it lasts the rest of our life, God's able to deliver.
Yes.
And at one point, he will deliver us from everything.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
It should be an encouragement today. You're saying, Mike, well, I didn't escape. I'm not escaping the trial that I'm in right now. I'm still in it. It looks like I'll be in it for the rest of days. Then you're more like Paul. And he said, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work.
Right.
Sitting in the prison cell, right? You know, we say, we use Paul's different things. A lot of times, you know, they use it in sports context and everything else. And I'm thinking, well, he's in prison when he's saying these things. He will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. We need to make up our minds. Before the trial, before the problem, before the persecution. Are we going to trust in the God that can deliver? Are we going to trust in ourselves? Right? Are we going to put faith in our God that he knows what he's doing and it's his choice, but he'll deliver us in the end? Or are we going to put our faith in our fear? I believe it's a powerful, powerful story. We love to tell it to kids. But I think it's got something for us adults as well. I'm going to ask everyone to stand today. I don't know what you're going through. But that word deliver, you know what it means? To set free. Right? Who's going to set you free? That's what the king's asking.
Yeah.
What God is going to set you free from me? Imagine the devil saying the same thing. What God is going to set you free? His name's Jesus.
Amen.
And he's already freed me. Don't let the devil get you back. The only way he can get us back in his grip is if we allow it. If us in our minds say, you know what? I'm going to give in to the fear. I'm going to give in to the trial. I'm going to give in to these things. You know what we've got to do? We've got to press on. Our God's able. And he loves us. And he is the deliverer. He can set free. Every time. We're going to open up the altar. I don't know if, what you need today. But God knows. This is the message we've got to take to this world. If you're lost today. If you don't know Jesus Christ. You are in bondage to the devil. And don't even realize it. You're a slave to him. You're serving him. He's your master. But aren't you glad that Jesus can break through all of that. Break the chains of sin and bondage. And set you free. You just need to admit you're a sinner. Be willing to turn your life. Call on Jesus' name for forgiveness. And believe that he died for your sins and rose on the third day. You do that and he will break every chain. And what about those that have done that already, that are Christians? We're in a dark place. maybe in our life, maybe in our mind, maybe a combination. Realize we've got the God that's still a deliverer. He's still the peace bringer. He's still the mind calmer. He's still the fear not God. He's still the one that can break chains today. What is it you need today? Have you given it to the deliverer? Have you given it over to him? Have you put your mind on him and stayed there? Are you trying to do it yourself? The devil wants you to bow. Guess what? We're not bowing, church. We're not giving in. We're not compromising. Because we're going to see what God does in the midst of the fire. He will show himself not only to the enemy, he'll show himself to us. Three Hebrew children were never closer to Jesus than when they were in the middle of that fire. Same is with you and me. You want to know God? You'll see him in trial and tribulation. You respond by faith, even when it's hard, even when it doesn't make sense, even when you don't want to, and God will show himself true. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for its truth. Lord, I pray that each one that's here, Lord, wherever state there are in their life, Lord, I pray that we would draw closer to you. Whatever things are going on, Lord, I pray that we would just trust you by faith, that you're the delivering God. And whether you deliver in our temporary situations or not, that we would understand that you're bringing the ultimate deliverance. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated.